remember after that first meeting with you, there was just this light at the end of the tunnel, which I had not seen a light at the end of the tunnel in so long.
Welcome to the Second Wind Podcast, dedicated to guiding you towards a healthier, happier, and more fulfilling life. I am your host, Judy Marie Trimber, best-selling author and founder of Miracles of Health. As someone who has naturally healed through numerous health challenges myself, I clearly understand the struggles that many of us face on a daily basis. But I also know that there is hope and healing beyond those challenges. Through my journey and experiences, I have learned how to create purpose beyond pain and find joy in life again. In this podcast, I share my personal insights as well as practical tips and advice to help you on your own journey towards health, healing, and prosperity. It's time to catch your second wind so you can soar towards a brighter future.
Hi, I'm Judy Marie. I'm the owner of Miracles of Health, and thank you for watching. And please, please feel free to tap the like button and subscribe, as this information helps many people to have really, really important information that they normally wouldn't get. And today I have a really special guest with me. Her name is Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
And Rebecca was really, really nice to be able to come on and share some of her story. And her story is coming from a place of such despair, hopelessness, after hitting many walls in her own healing journey. And I was very fortunate to meet her not too long ago, that her story is so deeply moved me, as it reminded me of myself many years ago. And I especially with very special gloves, you know, I'll just say, in, but really shadowing over some of the work and progress she's making, and continuing on to mentor her. So I would love for you to hear from Rebecca today. And Rebecca, it's a real honor that you are this vulnerable, you are this open to share your story. And the idea of doing this is to, so many people who may be in your similar situation, that they will have hope and they will see light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm just so moved by some of the things that you've shared. And one of the things that in working with people throughout the years myself, as an herbalist and healer, I'll meet people halfway. I mean, as much as somebody will put into it, I'll put into it. And I know in the very beginning when you and I met, I could tell immediately it's going to be 100%, which is very rare. And that's how much you care about yourself today, and you're willing to do what it takes. So let's start even just from when you came in. What was your journey like a little bit? How you felt, you know, and I could absolutely read all stuff in your chart, but your own words is just so moving. So let's go.
Okay. So when I had first come to see you, it was actually through my mom. My mom was so wonderful. And she was like, I found out about this lady and we're going to go meet her. I had just started a new job. I had just moved back to Colorado. Life was really messy. I had struggled for years with depression and anxiety. I was tired all the time. You know, I was so afraid of waking up late for work that I had alarms set every 5 minutes so that I could get up in the mornings. And sometimes I still didn't get up. I slept through all the alarms. I was really in a miserable place in life. You know, I wasn't feeling well mentally, physically. I was, not only was I tired, but then sometimes I couldn't sleep. And it was, you know, all of these weird symptoms that were all over the place. I had trouble with my menstrual cycles. I wasn't eating correctly, or I was eating correctly, but maybe I, you know, wasn't being as thoughtful as I could about my food.
I remember you sharing also that you would want to sleep more, and that you started to really, and this is what people do when they get more withdrawn and depressed, they isolate.
Yeah, so it was, I took any opportunity I could to sleep and to withdraw and to be by myself. I purposely ostracized myself from basically everybody. You know, I spent all my time in my room on my phone or sleeping. I didn't go out with my friends. I didn't go out and do a whole bunch of things because I wanted to be by myself. Mm-hmm. It was a way for me to withdraw and feel comfortable, even though that wasn't the right thing to do.
And what were your moods like? What was your temperament like?
I was extremely moody all the time. I would go from sad to angry to, you know, absolutely hopeless within a matter of minutes. And when I did get happy, it was just for these very short moments. And then it was very easy for something to take that happiness away. You know, something, maybe I was at a coffee creamer and my whole day would be ruined. So I was extremely moody. There was no sort of, I was not stable at all within how I was feeling.
And what about spiritually? You know, because we talk about things physically, mentally, mm-hmm. emotionally, and spiritually, you know, holistically. How did you feel about that within yourself and your connection?
So spiritually, I felt very disconnected. There wasn't anything that I was really leaning into or believing in. I think I told you this, but I just had kind of gotten to this point of absolute hopelessness. I was just kind of like, life is horrible and it is what it is. And I guess I'm stuck here and I don't see it getting any better. And so that made it very hard for me to be connected to anything spiritually. So I would say, honestly, the whole spiritual part of me was shut off.
Mm-hmm. And been like that way in the past where the fire in my soul was so low. We know when the fire goes out, the person may mm-hmm. not stay on the planet, but there's a part of us that it's just it, in us, we learned it about self-sabotage, about doing anything we can control, even if it was negative. And yes. I remember you sharing some of that too.
Yeah, I liked to take control of things that I could control, which was a lot of just me self-sabotaging myself, whether that was through eating or through working out too much or just using anything and everything as a punishment for myself. It was part of the reason that I ostracized myself from people. It was, you know, this self-sabotage was so huge within my life that I had just shut off everything. And
is that part of when you were saying about the rock climbing? Like, talk about that a second.
Okay, so I rock climb and I absolutely love rock climbing, but there's definitely a happy medium in working out. And I would go rock climb until my fingers bled or my toes bled because mm-hmm. it was a way to punish myself. It started out as something that I really, really, really love. And then it slowly turned into something that I could use to control. Or I would go climbing for, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours, which is not healthy for your body. You know, your body needs rest. It needs time to recuperate. And physical activity is so important. But if you're using it in the wrong way, you can use it to hurt yourself, which is what I was doing, essentially.
So just that, because you're feeling so painful inside, for whatever reason, you know, all the mm-hmm. different variables that happened, some consciously, some are not consciously, then this is when it really gets good, right? Okay, mm-hmm. So then shortly after that is when we met.
Yes.
Would you say?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So then we met, and it was this beautiful process. You know, I met Judy, and I just knew she validated everything that I felt. And, you know, I'd explained all this to her, and she made me so validated in, like, yeah, these are some serious problems, and, you know, let's help you with them. And it gave me so much hope. And I remember after that first meeting with you, there was just this light at the end of the tunnel, which I had not seen a light at the end of the tunnel in so long.
Yeah, it was like, it was so crazy because I was able to identify and relate as if it was myself years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it was almost like hearing my soul talk from that little child from within, you know, and
yes,
and then all along, I just kept having this hope for you and knowing I could feel your heart. Your heart was in a powerful transition. Okay. This was going to be the end of your life being that way, you know, and it usually takes, from what my experience has been, Rebecca, one person in the lineage, in the family, that is here to break all the sound barriers, which means all the chains, all the paradigms, all the behaviors, patterns that restrain us, that block us from becoming our full potential or becoming the butterfly of life that is inside us. And that's what I saw. It was this butterfly just struggling and wanting to come out of the cocoon. And then, you know, things just started to happen. And the next part that you're going to share, I really believe is so important because we get exposed to truth. Okay. We get exposed mm-hmm. to really good things. And then, we make such great progress, and then kaboom. All right. Okay. Now we're into the depths of the work. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's, if you're okay to share
yeah.
as much as you're comfortable to share. Okay. And then we'll go from there.
Okay. So after our first meeting together, I was able to, you know, it felt like we were making progress. You know, it might be hills and valleys, but, you know, the valleys were small and I could see the light at the end of the tunnel still. And I was, you know, really hopeful. And then one day the hills and valleys turned into a cliff and I jumped and everything went crazy, went kaboom. So I had been seeing Judy for probably 2 months, been taking my herbs. I've been very, very kind of religious about yeah. everything yeah. that I was doing. And I started to get dreams of some repressed memories. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, this might be too much. And as these things were coming up, I would start panicking and I would go, okay, I'm stopping my supplements. I can't do this. Or I would.
What did you say? Because it was becoming your dreams were feeling really uncomfortable, even though it might yeah. be truth, but it was like, holy cow.
Yeah, it was. They were really horrible. And something that had just kind of shook me to my core. So I was having these dreams and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this anymore. I could handle the little, you know, the little valleys, but this is crazy. I don't think I could do this. So I turned around and I ran the opposite way. I said, let me go back to all the other ways that I know how to deal with my problems. So I was drinking heavily and I was sleeping all the time and I was scrolling on my phone. And I would take my supplements through all of this, but I was still trying to bury everything back down. I was like, whoa, we have just like pulled the wool back, and I was not ready yet. And so I was like, let's just cover everything back up. And then one night, after some really heavy drinking, I was like, I woke up and I thought and I thought and I thought. And finally, I'd realized there is no going back. I picture myself as this butterfly, as you talk about. Like, I am out of the cocoon. I can't go back in there. I don't fit in there anymore. So I was using all of these coping mechanisms and unhealthy habits to shove myself back into a place that I knew was comfortable. May not have been the right thing to do.
So you were trying to numb out all the memories, all the feelings. You were just trying to numb that out. And the and I remember this. You were talking about remembering the book, The Body Keeps the Score. You know,
yes.
And we know there's a book called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die, you know. So then it just starts really playing on your consciousness.
Exactly. So as I'm thinking about everything, I decided, okay, well, I'm here. The memories have been uncovered. I remember it all now. I have two choices. I could sit here and I could be stuck forever, just like everybody before me has done. Or I could choose to take the next right step forward. And so I did. So I, you know, started journaling again, and I got back into my meditations, and, you know, I was talking to my spirit guides and communicating with them again. And from that decision to make the next right step forward, to say, I am uncomfortable, but I can do things when I am uncomfortable.
Wow. Love it.
You know, I can still do something even if I'm scared or even if I'm hurt. That does not get to dictate whether or not I stop. The whole world changed from that moment on.
So what you did, you crossed over this bridge, Rebecca, where your body, your emotions, your paradigms that no longer serve you, you were not going to allow them to have power over who you really want to be and what you really want.
Exactly.
That is powerful. That it really, in a very short period of time, but in a way, maybe it's been coming, you know, along the way. You've had some really good seeds sown from, you know, how your mother has taught you some things. You know, you've been on a path, a real, you know, of awareness awakening. But then there comes a point, there really does, in a person's healing, you're going to do it or you're not, because to become an awakened conscious being, that means why the majority of the people don't do it. My experience has been, then you take responsibility for your choices and your actions, you know, cause and effect. You become the leader of your own life, which means you start owning your own life.
Yes. And I had remembered you saying that to me, you know, in some of our meetings before, talking about being the leader of your life and taking control. And in that moment when I made that decision, you know, like, I can stay stuck here or I can move forward, I was like, I am going to be the leader of my life. You know, I will not stay stuck like everybody has tried to keep me, or like I feel like I need to be kept. You know, I don't have to stay stuck.
Exactly. Yeah. So, in that, a whole nother world opens up, you know, how to learn healthier boundaries, how to learn not to be codependent, how to be still and not say, oh, I'm bored, but yet it's to be so in the moment. So this is where I, you know, talk about that, how when I saw you recently, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so present. You're more present. Like, you're aware of that, right?
Yes. Yeah. I feel I we talked about this. I feel more conscious. I'm here. I, you know, there's moments like I'm driving to work and I look at the mountains and I go, how beautiful and how wonderful that I am here in this moment. And I have the ability to look at this wonderful view. Like, what are the odds? And so it's made my gratitude better. My energy has shifted. I feel better. I am waking up in the mornings. I am up at 6:10 every morning, which is may not sound huge, but that's huge for me. Mm-hmm. That is so big. I'm waking up in the morning. I'm eating better. I feel better. I'm not as moody. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel very even and stable all the time. You know, one bad thing does not ruin my day.
That's huge. And to go from feeling so insane, you know, so crazy, to know, yes, you know, that sometimes we, not sometimes, I know for myself, I would lose myself to find myself, which meant a part of me that needed to die off so the greater part of me, the truer part of me, could live. And that's what I see you're doing. You're going through of, oh, no, that's not who I want to be. This is more what I want.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, there's those moments where the self-sabotage tries to take over. But I remember that I'm the one with the power. I get to make the choices. That self-sabotage part of me is no longer in charge. Mm-hmm. I am. And so I get to make the choices. And, you know, just everything is better. You know, I even went climbing the other day and I climbed for about an hour and a half. And I sat there and I was like, you know what? My body's feeling tired. My hands are starting to hurt. It's time to go home. And I was okay with that. I was proud of myself for climbing and doing what I had done, but I was okay with leaving, even though maybe I didn't do all the things that I had planned on doing. But I was intuitive with my body and I listened to what my body was telling me. My body was telling me I'm tired and I'm done. It's time to go home. That's what I did.
Wow, that's empowering. That's listening now to your body, honoring and taking those steps. What is best for that? And it could, mm-hmm, be your body. It could be your, you know, environment, your life, you know, and you have this precious dog that is your soul, one of your soulmates, right? And closest, yes, friend and connection. I would love for you to share those two dog stories.
Okay. Wow. So yeah, Clyde is, I adopted him about 3 years ago from a shelter in Wisconsin. He had been returned to the shelter multiple times because he's aggressive. He's reactive. He doesn't get along with kids. He doesn't get along with men. And so he was put on the list to be put down. And I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot let this happen. I'm going to take this dog home. So I took this dog home and I love him with every fiber of my being. But when I tell you that he is the meanest dog, he is, you know, we would go on walks and he would just lose his mind. You know, he would see another dog or another person or a car passing by and he would just lose it. Everything scared him. Everything triggered him. He knows I'm talking about him right now. He's sitting up and looking at me. He was so afraid. He didn't get along with most men. Every once in a while, I would find a man that he got along with really well. But he was just horrible. Couldn't take him on walks. You couldn't put him in the car. You know, he was a house dog. He had to stay home. And after the energy had shifted one day, I thought, you know what? I'm going to take Clyde on a walk.
And this was just recent, right?
Yeah, this was about a week ago. It was a beautiful day. And I was like, I'm going to take Clyde on a walk. And there's these two parts of me like fighting. My intuition is saying, just take Clyde on a walk. The other part of me, this logical being, is going, why would you take that dog on a walk? He's going to bite you. It's going to stress him out. It's going to stress you out. It's everybody in the neighborhood is going to look at you funny because here you are with your crazy dog out on the sidewalk again. You cannot do this. And I finally just was like, you know what? I'll take him on a walk. If it gets bad, we'll come home. So we're going on this walk and we're passing by all these things. We're passing by men. We're passing by other dogs. He just walks right by him. Doesn't even make a peep. Doesn't look scared. Doesn't look anxious. Nothing. He just walks right by him. I'm like, wow, this is really weird. Well, maybe he's just really excited to be going on this walk. So we'll just keep going and I'll wait until he blows up. And we keep going. And here we go again. And we're passing dogs within like, you know, 3-4 feet of each other. I'm like, he is not reacting. He's just as happy as can be. He's relaxed. He's hanging out. He's paying attention to me and nobody else. A motorcycle passed us, and anything loud or scary like a motorcycle would really set him off. He had no reaction to the motorcycle. So I'm like, well, let's test this theory. Let's see what's really going on here. Because by this point, we had been walking for about 30 minutes and he still hadn't had a reaction, which in the 3 years I've had this dog has never happened before, ever. Every time. I mean, within the first 3 minutes of being on a walk, he would start barking or reacting to something. So about 30 minutes go by and I'm like, all right, let's pass by this neighbor's house. And I have a neighbor who has 2 really big male dogs who bark through this chain link fence so the dogs can see each other. And Clyde always loses it. My dog always loses it when we're walking by. And so normally we go on the other side of the street and he'll still lose it from the other side of the street, but at least it's better. And we walk right by this house and these dogs are barking and yapping and, you know, they're up on the fence within, you know, 2 feet of Clyde. I just walked right past him. He felt my energy change and his energy changed.
This is so powerful, Rebecca. And I'm excited for all the listeners to get this and share this video, please, with as many people as possible. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. What Rebecca is sharing is so profound because when we make those changes within, it has such a powerful ripple effect to the people around us, especially the animals, even plants that grow. I mean, the nature, everything, it has such a huge rippling effect. And I bet you still are blown away. Is this real? Is this really happening?
Yeah, well, now I've always taken Clyde places. I put him in the car and I used to never be able to put him in the car. Now we go in the car all the time. I can leave the blinds open because he's not trying to jump out the window every time he sees something walking by the house.
That is so powerful because it helped heal something in him too. Mm-hmm. The abuse that went on in that dog, obviously there had been a lot, or whatever has been in your history, completely you were open for the healing and the release of that. When we have the memories, you know, or when we accept it was what it was, or it is what it is when we can move forward. And there takes layers of letting go and forgiveness. And as we were sharing, it's not only a small part of it, it really is forgiving other people or the other whoever's involved, but on a deeper level in making our strongest connection is forgiving ourselves.
Yeah.
Whether we had control of it or not, it doesn't matter. You know, it's where it takes us, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And having that grace for yourself is so important.
And you get to feel that now.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I know for myself, I know for years of how to feel bad, you know, or how to feel a victim and the lesser than and all of that, and coming to these places in life where, wait a minute, you know, we're our own sacred leader. And I like the word you just used was grace, because that means there is more compassion now. There is more love for self. When we have that for self, we can have that for other people.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes it's easier to give it to other people than yourself too. It's right. Important to give it to yourself and to remember that, you know, because even now, even though I feel a million times better, there are still moments where I have to give myself grace, you know?
Yes.
And give myself the space to say, okay, maybe you made the wrong decision here, but how can we make the right decision next time?
So it sounds like the time that, you know, of being hard on yourself or beating yourself up for something is just becoming less and less and not as intense. And it's like, it's a practice, you know?
Exactly.
What a thought. We get to practice this evolution in life, right?
Yeah.
You know, would you rather be right or be happy? You know, it's like, what does it matter, you know, about being so right as much as opening up our awarenesses through our experiences? So now this is going to help propel you to a whole nother level of healing and awareness.
Yes. Yeah.
And what are you looking forward to? Like where you are right now, and what would you encourage anybody else listening to this right now, just in case they're in the same spot you were a few months ago?
Listen to your intuition. Whatever inside you is telling you to do something, it's probably right. Now, my intuition told me that I should go see Judy. You know, I have a good feeling about this. And I trusted my gut. And then, you know, you gave me all these things. And I said, I'm just going to trust the process here. Something here feels right. And I'm going to trust the process. When you're so used to fighting against, sometimes it's good to just trust and feel your intuition. There's going to be hills and there's going to be valleys, and you're going to jump off a cliff, and the world is going to feel like it's ending and there are walls crashing around you, but it's not the end. And it's kind of cliche when people tell you, oh, there's something better coming, but it's true. There is something better coming. You just have to make that choice.
I love that, because sometimes at the time, it doesn't, even though it doesn't feel like that, but if somebody can hold that space for you, okay?
Yes.
And just shine that light, maybe just imagine it's a flashlight for a short time, but it's really from our heart and from our own essence, you know, to hold that space. But you're the one who's been doing the work. You're the one who's been committed to, wait a minute, I'm not going to quit and give up on myself. And I remember when I was at a point in my life where I was so questioning that, because I lost myself so much in a situation. And that was a pattern. I would have a situation, I'd lose myself, and then I'd have to try to climb back up and let's do this again. And then there hits a point now, at least I know where I am in my life today, I will never go back down into that hole, no matter what. And that's the light, the fire in the soul that starts getting stronger, starts getting brighter, and what our connection is to our higher power, to spirit. When you have that in, you know, it's always been there. We're the ones who disconnect from it. But when you have that come back, like you do, it everything in your life is changing now. Like, wow.
Yeah, everything.
Wow. You know?
Yeah,
what I call it for me, that was my born again moment. Mm-hmm. That's what I call, oh, wow, you know, one of those that is so life changing, just like you'll remember what it would have been like if you kept sabotaging it. Sometimes it could get down to life or death. If I keep doing this, I will not live. Okay. And that's its own decision. But oh my gosh, just in a very short time of what is opening up in your life, you just want more of it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for every new day.
That is beautiful, Rebecca. That is so beautiful. And I want to thank you for being so open, so honest, and vulnerable. And the idea with our stories is to be able to use it to help heal someone else. The key is not to stay stuck in your own story, whatever that is. Even though something just happened once, people can relive it hundreds of times in their mind as if it's happened over and over, and then it gets convoluted and it gets changed, you know, whatever.
Yes.
And you're just saying, okay, it is what it is, it was what it was, and I, you know, I'm excited now to look forward. And I want to thank you so much for sharing today, and I'm looking forward to more of your progress. We're gonna have another video to watch here in a few more months.
I'm
looking forward
update.
To it. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode. I trust that you found the insights and stories shared inspiring and beneficial. If you're ready to catch your second wind and transform your life, hit that subscribe button so that you are first to know when episodes are released every week. Let's continue the journey of health and transformation together. To support this podcast, please leave a rating and a written review on your podcast app of choice. Help us strengthen the winds of change by sharing the Second Wind podcast with everyone you know. For more information, please visit judymarie.net and miraclesofhealth.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at judymarietrimber and at miraclesofhealth. Always remember to believe in miracles and never give up on yourself. Embrace your own second wind. Take care and be well.